You're listening to Bob Leon and the Truth of It All.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, March 25th, 2024. Just wanted to do a live here this morning to talk about the axe the carbon tax movement that is taking place across Canada. On Monday, April the 1st, I'll be attending the Lloydminster get-together, the Assembly of Canadians opposing the carbon tax. And yeah, as you all know, I don't hold any faith in the politicians and parties today, and I wanted to speak today about the political theater. But we know where these policies and ideas were born in the World Economic Forum regarding carbon taxes and climate change fraud. And then the World Health Organization for the policies, the tyrannical policies of public health that we lived through and that are still existing here in my province of Alberta with the existing Public Health Act. But I just wanted to say for a moment, let's forget about where the ideas came from and focus on, you know, Canada's story, the political theater of today, of the uniparties, that all governments and oppositions have been pulling us in the same direction. A betrayal, as I see it now, that is over 160 years and more in the making. I just wanted to focus on those who created the Canada we are living in today. And I don't see Canada as being neither strong nor free, nor do a lot of Canadians. So I wanted to speak to the amending of the Canadian Constitution and focus on Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, the seven premiers, Alberta's Premier Daniel Smith, Saskatchewan's Scott Moe, Ontario's Doug Ford, Newfoundland's Andrew Fury, PEI's Dennis King, Nova Scotia's Tim Houston, New Brunswick's Blaine Higgs. The question remains, and the question everybody should be asking themselves, are they serious about axing, abolishing, repealing Justin Trudeau's carbon tax? The fraudulent taxing of CO2? Or are they just talking about stopping the increase of that? Let's take a closer look. So the following is a quote from the motion that Pierre Poilievre put forward to Parliament days ago, last week, to dissolve the Canadian Parliament and an attempt to trigger a federal election based on the carbon tax. And I quote, that the House declare non-confidence in the Prime Minister and his costly government for increasing the carbon tax 23% on April 1st, end quote, of Pierre Poilievre. So, as you see, it's increasing the carbon tax they're suggesting be stopped. Firstly, that is the issue I take exception to, the political theater of that they made it sound like they want to abolish the carbon tax overall, but that's not the case. So let's be clear right there, right from the beginning. And furthermore, if they were serious about repealing consumer and industrial carbon taxes, there was no need to try knowingly to attempt a futile path to dissolve Parliament to trigger an election. Let's be real here. As if there is any doubt that the NDP and Liberal government would allow that to happen. So if Pierre Poilievre, Daniel Smith, and the other premiers were serious about axing the tax, they would create a constitutional challenge, which would in turn call for a vote in the House of Commons, in Parliament, and in Senate. What would the downside of that be for the politicians and political parties? That move would transparently show Canadians where their own MPs stand, where the parties stand, where the government and opposition stand, where the premiers and all provinces stand, all the governments of those provinces, and where every senator stands on carbon taxes. If you still believe there's democracy within Canada's Confederation, that there are governments and oppositions rather than uniparties pulling us in the same direction, if you don't believe they're playing political theater to make it look like there's opposition on such things as carbon taxes, then you may want to pay attention to what I'm about to say here. Anyone who followed along with the Alberta Prosperity Project, an organization I'd co-founded, was former president of and original benefactor of, you'll know very well of the following mechanisms regarding opening a constitutional challenge on carbon taxes in Canada. That if the premiers and the leader of Canada's conservative opposition were serious about axing the tax, the threshold is there for them. Pierre Poilievre's conservatives, along with the 7 of 10 provinces, make up 60% of Canada's total population. They could begin the process of reopening the Canadian Constitution and challenging the carbon taxes to be revoked in their entirety. The provinces that are opposed, this is their populations. New Brunswick, 842,700 people. Newfoundland, 540,000 people. Nova Scotia, 1.07 million. Saskatchewan, 1.22 million. Ontario, 15.8 million. Alberta, 4.76 million. PEI, 176,000. Total population of those 7 of 10 provinces equals 24.2 million. Canada's population equals 40.53 million. Those 7 of 10 provinces equal 60% of Canada's population. The following is the criteria required for opening a constitutional challenge on carbon taxes. That 7 of 10 provinces representing 50 plus 1 of Canada's population, they've passed that threshold. A majority vote in the House of Commons, which Pierre Poilievre could table. Majority vote in the Senate would follow that. Quebec may have a veto, as they have the political leverage due to their large provincial voting bloc, the seats that they hold in Canadian Parliament. Historically, federal parties, governments are prone to being swayed by that large voting bloc, as well as Ontario's. However, if Ontario were to be serious about repealing carbon taxes, Quebec will likely let the carbon tax challenge pass, as almost 70% of Canadians oppose carbon taxes. Constitutional challenges are argued in the Supreme Court. Canada's highest court is composed of 3 justices from Ontario, 3 justices from Quebec, 1 justice from the Maritimes, and 2 justices from Western Canada. So let's just say that 7 of the 10 provinces making up 60% of Canada's population trigger a constitutional challenge to repeal carbon taxes, not only the increase, but to abolish carbon taxes entirely. So Pierre Poilievre's Conservative Party table a vote in the House of Commons showing where each and every MP stands on that. Liberal, NDP, Conservative, and Bloc. Then the Senate is forced, if that passes, the Senate is then forced to vote, showing where each senator stands, which opens up a constitutional challenge and ruling from the Supreme Court of Canada. And if that vote rules against repealing carbon taxes after all that, good luck to the politicians containing the Canadian outrage. Remember, almost 70% of Canadians oppose carbon taxes. So, if I were one of those 7 premiers, such as Daniel Smith here in Alberta, if I was Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservative opposition, Canada, if I was serious about repealing carbon taxes, that's what I would do. But that's not what they're doing. That is classic political theater 101. Are you paying attention yet? Those of you that trust any of these politicians, left or right, those holding on to faith in political parties, politicians, governments, and so-called oppositions, do you understand the theater now that is Axe the Tax? All of the above is for those who still believe in Canada's Confederation, that the union of the provinces within Canada is actually legitimate. Historical relevance to my statement here. The fact is that Quebec has never agreed to, signed the 1982 Charter of Rights and Freedoms Amendment to the Constitution. That subsequent attempts of that ratification by the province of Quebec and the people of Quebec failed. Eventually, the Supreme Court fraudulently signed off on that. The fraud actually goes back to 1901, when Canada was destined to become free of the British monarchy, destined to have independent provinces within Canada. Evidence Alberta MP Walter Kuehl presented to the Canadian Parliament in 1945, falling for lies and the illusion. The fact is that past and present governments, prime ministers, have and had no opposition. Provincial governments played along, as they're all connected to the federal parties of Canada, except for the Bloc Québécois, that hold a federal party opposition within the province of Quebec because of their voting leverage of the Bloc they hold. Conservatives, parties across Canada are absolutely tied to the conservative power structure of Canada. NDP parties also, Liberal parties also. Given that Pierre Elliott Trudeau, that his government, along with the premiers of the time, had the audacity to allow the Supreme Court ruling of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms becoming somewhat legitimate, even without one province's consent, Quebec's, even without withholding a vote of the people of Canada behind that revised constitution in 1982, the will of a few spoke for the will of the many. That was simply another moment in Canadian history where the voice and authority of Canadians was removed, was disrespected. Subsequent rulings, such as the Little Child case, declared that the people of Canada have no constitutional voice nor ability to hold their elected representatives of parliament, legislatures, or municipalities accountable by law. The ruling was clear. Our only recourse against trespasses against us by those politicians is a vote every 4 years. Literally, the right to seek legal redress was removed without amendment, without constitutional discussion. Simply the ruling of one politically appointed judge. Another example of another breach against Canadians. This is not the Canada that was meant to be. For far too long, Canadians have been disrespected, abused, murdered, and stolen from. Locked down, our loved ones dying alone, children taking their own lives, dying from lack of medical treatment, Canadians being held unjustly in remand for over 2 years, Canadians forced to take a proven to be poisonous and lethal vaccine. We have been overtaxed. We have been paying fraudulent carbon taxes. First Nation people neglected and abused for far too long, where pedophiles and sexual predators are protected rather than children and women. Some of those predators being in public institutions, protected by governments and bureaucracies. For far too long, governments and bureaucracies of publicly funded services have disrespected the life and liberty of Canadian men, women, and children, disrespected democracy and the greater good of all Canadians. They have removed any and all mechanisms to hold politicians criminally accountable for any of those crimes. They've done so with politically appointed judges, controlling key rulings, and controlling the Supreme Court. All these governments and politicians have maintained the arrogant audacity that courts of kings and queens, that the British monarchy can speak and rule over all Canadians. Governments and bureaucracies of justice, public health, children's family services, and police have been given such far-reaching and abusive powers and authority over Canadians. And that is the abomination of today. That is not democracy. That is not freedom. That is not being strong and free. That is totalitarian, dictating powers, abusive powers that have destroyed many people and continue to do so. That is not justice and freedom. That is not following God's laws. That is not what Canada was meant to be. And that is what Canadians must rise up against and overturn to repeal all that, all the way back to 1901 and beyond. Moments in Canadian history when greedy, power-hungry Canadian politicians fraudulently took power, willfully ignored the true path Canada was meant to take, willfully failing to recognize the legitimacy and independence that is to be Canada's provinces and people. Rather than that, they've kept Canadians in bondage. Shame on them. For 123 years, Canadian politicians suppressed the will of the many, changed laws and added new ones, benefiting their stranglehold for their thieving, murdering, unjust power, while removing God's laws for their own. Dating back to my great ancestor, Chief Big Bear, the last holdout to the signing of the last treaty, Treaty 6, a man who had the vision of the fall of Canadian freedom, and subsequent governments have committed treasonous fraud and betrayal against all people of Canada. Our only hope is to come together as men and women of all ethnicities, of all faiths, believers and non-believers. Our only hope is in us, ourselves, as Canadian people, to rise up against this abomination, to see that God's will is done. That's our only hope. And that's my commitment going forward. I will never stand idly by as people are being abused, men, women, and children. My passion for Canada and all the people in it runs deep. For people all over the world that are being abused, neglected, murdered in wars, in Gaza, in the Ukraine, our only hope is in ourselves. In God's grace and guidance. Thank you, everyone. God bless you all.